Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Monty Larrick here, joined by David Smith,
Hello.
The executive director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. And we recently had the pleasure of speaking with Joe McGuire, who is an expert on marijuana and the disastrous impact that legalization is having in the states that have legalized recreational marijuana.
And boy, does she know her stuff.
She does. And Joe is the chairman of the board of the National Drug and Alcohol Screening Association. Alcohol. Why not just regulate marijuana like we do alcohol?
Very good question, Monty. You know, I often say that, I could sit on my couch with my teenage daughter next to me and have a glass of wine and not get drunk. She's not impacted. She's not affected. And we call it a night, right? But if I'm sitting on the couch smoking a joint and my teenage daughter's sitting next to me, she's getting a secondary high. And not only that, I'm getting high too, because you don't use marijuana to not get high. The point is the high and to become impaired. So you can drink alcohol and not become drunk, but you don't use marijuana and not become high. And then in addition, you have this impact to your children and those around you. So it is a very different substance. We also know how alcohol eliminates from the body. We know the timing of that with our metabolism and how much we've had to eat or drink or what, you know, all of those factors, we
generally
don't know.
Out of your body within 24 hours.
Sooner than that. But with marijuana, it's not the same. Cannabis goes into the body, it gets into the bloodstream very quickly, it goes in and out, and then it settles in the fat cells. So people think, oh, well, so what? You got a little body fat, it's sitting in your fat cells, who cares? But what is the brain tissue?
It's fat.
It's a big fatty fat ball of fat.
So that's my problem.
Right? So here we have folks whose brains are saturated with THC, yes, the psychoactive component in marijuana, and they behave thusly. Mm-hmm. Right? So even the person who builds up tolerance, they don't think they're high, but we have seen in studies that they have trouble with multi-divided attention tasks, trouble with memory retention, fine motor skills.
Yeah,
there are ongoing issues. So when you hear, oh, you know, they use it all the time, so they're not high, that's a false statement.
Mm.
And it's actually very misleading and misinterpreting the science.
Just because they're used to operating that way,
right,
doesn't mean that they're not delayed, and that could make the matter
of difference, Dave,
on the highway, right?
Here's another question. When you have a buddy or a family member who drinks to get drunk every day, what do we call that?
I know the word, too.
Alcoholism.
No, but it's a what do you call it?
Functional
alcoholic, that's
yes,
right.
Okay. But we confront alcoholism because there's an addiction there.
That's right.
You have a friend or family member who uses marijuana every day to get high, and we say, hey, no problem.
No, it's a problem.
Right.
It's a big problem.
Mm-hmm. So this is what we need to be aware of, that we're creating a double standard even though we're calling it the same thing, and that's what you call a lie.
In my fear, and this is something that I've pointed out, but you're here, you're the expert on this, am I right to say, if you use marijuana on Friday, especially if you're a normal user every week, you may not be safe on Monday to get back in your car and drive on the highway to go to work because your fine motor skills are going to be affected. Am I okay by saying that?
You're okay by saying that for the basic reason that the marijuana products of today are not the same as they used to be.
Okay.
They have changed dramatically. So you're using these hyper-potent products,
yes,
that have been genetically modified,
yep,
and you have people who are saying, I ate that cookie and I was out of my mind,
mm-hmm,
for 24 or 48
sure,
hours.
Sure, sure.
Right? So it depends on what people are using. It depends on how much they are using. It also depends on the frequency of use. So we're compounding issue on top of issue on top of issue.
And we're seeing highway accidents increase in Colorado,
absolutely,
aren't we?
We sure are. We've had a sharp spike in marijuana-related fatalities, accidents, and injuries.
Go into that a little bit more.
Well, so people always say, you know, tell us the numbers on marijuana only. They don't believe it's possible because they hear marijuana is safe.
Because a lot of people use both alcohol,
right,
and marijuana or,
right,
other,
yeah, absolutely,
issues, yeah.
So combined polydrug and alcohol, roadway crashes and fatalities are up by 55% in the state of Colorado, but marijuana only.
55%.
This is after years of decline in traffic crashes.
And safer cars, by the way, too.
Right. So, you know, you'll have people who say traffic crashes are down in Colorado. And overall, traffic crashes are down. However, there's a greater percentage of those crashes that are drug-related. Those are on the increase.
Mm.
Imagine how much further along in preventing traffic crashes and fatalities we would be if we were not driving stoned.
Yeah.
Now, wait a second, Dave.
Yeah.
Think of this. In Illinois, they've cut down on patrols on the highways.
Sure have.
Because of money problems.
Right.
There are fewer state police out on the highway.
That's right.
Fewer regular police officers on our streets because of money problems. And now we're going to be sending more drug-impaired drivers.
Absolutely.
On Illinois roadways.
That, to me, is very alarming to think that my family members could be on the highway and involved in a maybe fatal car accident with somebody who's been under the influence of this very high-potency marijuana.
And please understand that marijuana-only operators,
yes,
have increased by 38% in traffic fatalities.
It's all on the rise.
So we have issues here because we do not have any roadside impairment test for marijuana, and that's one of our greatest challenges. And we're nowhere close. People think, oh, it's imminent. You'll actually hear this in the campaign promises. It's imminent. It's coming any minute, and the lawmakers will figure it out. We're talking about science that has not yet been invented and is decades away. And the reason for that
decades away.
Marijuana does not expel in the breath.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually, we see people who are trying to develop an extremely sensitive device that captures oral fluid that comes out in the breath. You're talking about minuscule amounts, and then it has to be measurable, and then we need an impairment standard on top of it. So we have a long way to go before we figure this thing out, and we're just creating more problems for ourselves.
Yet Illinois lawmakers are being told that, yes, there are some problems in Colorado. We'll admit to that, okay. But look at the revenue we're raising, and the tax dollars are coming in, the jobs that are being created.
Isn't that a main selling point, Monty?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it is. This is going to help us.
Yeah, and we can regulate this and make sure it's safe and, You know,
we feel in Colorado as though we were sold a bill of goods. Our voters often refer to this as bait and switch. You have people who were very much in favor of those talking points and now say, I had no idea. I wish I could take that day back. And one of the reasons for that is because we were promised the millions and millions. And what we've seen is the money that comes in, first of all, has not even covered the cost of the bureaucratic mess we've created trying to regulate this thing. So that's a cost to taxpayers.
More big government.
The money that has been allocated.
And is that factored in?
Right. Is that factored in? The money that has been allocated has been less than 1% of our entire state budget. And might I add that nobody is adding up the costs. We have asked our governor repeatedly to convene a study on the cost associated with legal marijuana, and I can tell you that just in emergency room visits from accidental overdoses and traffic fatalities, we've exceeded the income by 10 times.
Just those two?
Just those two.
And you've exceeded. So it's fine to say, look at the hundreds of millions of dollars coming in tax revenue, but if we don't factor in what are the consequences and the costs going out, you know, any business, we're losing money on this deal.
You are actually creating a greater economical problem than you're solving.
And one other point, I mean, even if it brings in hundreds of millions of dollars in Illinois, it is not going to solve the reckless spending habits of our Illinois politicians. So giving them more money isn't going to solve any budget problems unless they start restricting and being responsible.
You know, some of the lawmakers who favor legalization of this new era high-potency marijuana are saying the revenue that will be generated, well, ranges from $300 million to $700 million. How far off are they?
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting. How do you anticipate what the marijuana use is of your population? We heard in the first year there would be $600 million per year. And we didn't even break $100 million in the first year by a long shot. I mean, we were down in the $30 million range. You know, it's creeped up over the years, but then you saturate your market. There's only so much pot that people can take in. And so what are those estimates? Are they counting on tourism? Well, let me tell you something. That's leveling off for Colorado because our surrounding states have now legalized. Why would you come to Colorado when you can go to Vegas and
have all the
vices? But isn't
it true, though, Joe, that in Denver, the amount of usage, the pot usage, is actually affecting negatively the tourist and convention business?
Absolutely. Denver's Visitor Bureau sent out a report that said 50% of conference goers in Denver said we won't come back.
And these are forms they fill out after being there, right?
They're questionnaires, and they've
made
comments.
What did we do right? What did we do wrong?
They've told their stories. They have said there is the marijuana stench, first of all, is very bothersome and annoying and clings to everything and is continually present. There is aggressive homelessness, and these are the words of the conference goers.
Yeah.
People pursuing you and, you know, trying to aggressively get money from you.
For weed.
And then the filth and the fear of crime that has increased in the city. So folks are saying, you know, we used to love Denver, we'll never come back. And that decrease in tourism, well, you know, that takes away from your market.
That's absolutely right. So the promise of jobs, not so much.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'll tell you, that is really something to talk about, because you'll hear, well, the marijuana industry will bring a significant amount of jobs. Right now, the jobs created in Colorado are, again, we're less than 1% of our entire workforce population. But let me add that the majority of people who work in the marijuana industry are on welfare. They are having—
Say that again.
The majority of people who work in the marijuana industry are on welfare. So,
why is that? I mean, they're supposedly making money hand over fist.
Right? So we have doctors who are saying we treat these folks, they get a lot of workplace accidents and injuries, believe it or not. And so they're coming into the emergency department and they have Medicaid or no insurance coverage, you know, and they're saying, you know, we don't have any of these benefits. They get paid in cash. It's
so they're not
non-reportable,
reporting. Right?
It's non-reportable.
Paid in cash. What could go wrong?
Right. It is a cash-only business. Remember, there's no banking
they
allowed.
They can't put it in an FDIC bank, can
it would
they?
Be money laundering.
That's right.
Well, they're not making money. Who is making money on this?
Well, it's the big-time investors. It's the people who are behind the scenes that are pulling the strings and operating all of this, you know, the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws, the Drug Policy Alliance, Marijuana Policy Project. And so the folks that are out there creating this industry, they're profiting from addiction and getting our kids addicted to marijuana.
Mm. Oh, we need to take a break. Let's go into this a little bit more after we take this time out.
Do you want a better education for your child? Consider Freedom Project Academy. Built on Judeo-Christian values and classical curriculum, Freedom Project Academy provides more than 100 live online courses for students in kindergarten through high school. With live class instruction, teacher hours, recordings, assignments, quizzes, tests, grading, and transcripts, Freedom Project Academy is faithfully educating America. Request your free information packet today.
Protect life. Protect privacy. Tell your state representative to vote no on the Equal Rights Amendment.
Wake up and realize how overreaching this amendment is.
Elise spoke with Stop ERA warns the Planned Parenthood-backed amendment will enshrine taxpayer-funded, unrestricted abortions into the Constitution.
The ERA absolutely mandates full access to abortion.
And while the Constitution already guarantees equal protections regardless of sex, ratification of the ERA will put privacy at risk.
Everything would have to be unisex. Locker rooms, bathrooms, hospital rooms.
Call today and tell your state representative to vote no on the ERA. The state capitol switchboard number is 217-782-2000. 217-782-2000. For lawmaker information, visit IllinoisFamily.org and click Officials Finder.
Well, thanks once again for being part of Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here with David Smith,
Yellow,
Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute. We're joined by Joe McGuire, Chairman of the Board of the National Drug and Alcohol Screening Association. Joe with us to talk about the dangers of legalizing recreational marijuana. We're up against that here in Illinois. And maybe some of the instigators behind this are some folks that we wouldn't suspect. Big Tobacco, are they involved in this push to make marijuana legal here in Illinois?
There have been a number of stories that some of those big tobacco companies we're all familiar with, like R.J. Reynolds, have made offers and said, we are ready. We've got the growing space. We have the rolling machines, we have the open market, and we're ready. We heard recently that one of the major big tobacco companies bought stock in a particular marijuana establishment that has had successful retail stores in Colorado and other states. And so we fully expect that Big Tobacco is ready to come in and partner because, you know, these two substances are directly related. And the marijuana industry does not like that comparison because people are so reticent and know the harms of tobacco these days. So this is all on the hush-hush, and they really try to keep that at bay. But, yeah, there's investors. And we are looking at Big Tobacco 2.0, bigger and better.
Now, the bill in Illinois that's pending, number one, does not let local communities opt out. Now, Colorado was able to opt out, and you're going to tell us a little more about that. But it also, like Colorado, allows each individual to have up to 5 plants to grow on their own.
That is correct.
Grow your own.
That is
so
correct.
First of all, the opt-out.
Yeah, so in Colorado, most people don't know this. 2/3 of the cities and communities in Colorado said,
no, thank you.
We do not want retail marijuana and keep it out of our community. I live in one of those communities. However, individual home grows and individual use is legal in the entire state. So what I've seen happen is, you know, we believe that we'll get a hold of this, we'll regulate it, we'll tax it and control it. And hey, you know, put it over there in its corner where it belongs. But then simultaneously, you allow these home grows where people can have 5 plants per adult. Okay, so a husband and wife can have 10 plants. The average plant yields 1 pound of pot per harvest. The average grower, if they're any good at all, can get 3 to 4 harvests per year. So in 3 to 4 harvests a year, you know, let's say we have 4 harvests per year.
Mm-hmm.
We have 10 plants in our home. You're talking 40 pounds of pot a year.
Yikes.
Let me tell you something. You ask local law enforcement, is that a lot of pot? And they'll say, that's more than an individual should be able to use if they're smoking 24/7, 365.
Even Cheech and Chong?
Even Cheech and Chong. So here's what we have going on. The home grow is the source of the continued black market.
Yeah, sure.
That's where your product gets diverted to children, teenagers, youth. That's where you have each one of these laws has a clause in it that you can gift someone up to an ounce for free. It actually says, yeah, you can gift an ounce without remuneration. So what that means is you can give your buddy an ounce and that's legal. Okay? So people are giving out their ounces and giving out their ounces, but
so
guess
choices,
what?
Choices. I can send you a gift card or I can send you an ounce of marijuana for
that's
your
right.
birthday, Monty.
Yep.
Wow.
And then, you know, we're not asking for direct payment, but we are saying, hey, you now need to donate back to me.
Holy smoke.
You know, a little gas money or a little whatever of this or that. So that undercuts the tax scheme entirely. So when you say we're going to tax it and regulate it, what you are doing is lying on the other side of this issue, because it's not about tax and regulate. It's not about control.
No.
It's about creating an abundant supply and normalizing the use of marijuana in our communities and for our children.
So as it relates then to neighborhood safety, we've got crime in neighborhoods because
absolutely.
You've got competing grows, right? And then you've got extraction labs. We're actually, the state is kind of actually encouraging people, grow your own and, you know, create hybrids and your own distinct marijuana products. And,
correct.
And tell us a little bit about these extraction labs that blow up similar to
meth labs.
Meth labs.
Yes. So the extraction process for marijuana involves butane.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's an explosive gas.
And heat. And
that's not a good combination.
In the form of flame.
Oh,
so you have blowtorches and butane, and you have stoners.
Oh.
And so you put those all
what
together.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
That's right.
Volatile.
That's right. And so the point is to extract an extremely high potent form of marijuana. It looks like a little tarry substance. Gosh, it looks very similar to heroin.
Mm.
And these potencies are so strong that the marijuana industry advertises one hit is similar to 26 hits of a joint.
Wow.
And so these...
And what's the level of THC in these?
Well, these can be anywhere from 60, 80, 90%.
Wow.
I mean, they are extremely potent.
Okay.
We actually have a public service campaign in Colorado that says start low, go slow, because the marijuana naive user is not supposed to start with these out of the gate. They could be rendered unconscious.
Okay. Oh, my.
So this is one of the most popular products in Colorado, and the state realized, well, you know, first they said, you know, hey, maybe this shouldn't be legal. And then the marijuana industry says, hey, wait a minute, go read your constitutional amendment that we wrote for you. And this is legal and there's nothing you can do about it. And so the state saw people blowing themselves up. These hash oil explosions look very similar to meth labs, as we've mentioned. And so it's a public health and safety hazard. And so our Colorado Department of Public Health said we've got to create a better system so people won't blow themselves up. And so they actually got involved in creating what is now known as the closed loop system for those who produce these concentrates commercially, and helped make it safer. So they're trying to discourage, you know, the renegade who's in their mom's kitchen making hash oil extractions. It doesn't stop or eliminate the problem by any means. But those who can afford the closed loop systems are trying to make these concentrates, quote unquote, safer.
But extraction labs are not the only problem. We've got a serious issue with mold in homes, right?
Oh, you bet. Marijuana takes an intense amount of water and heat. So you get water and heat in a closed home.
Got plenty of that in Chicago.
That's right. You know, yeah, the environment in Illinois is not super conducive to growing marijuana naturally year-round.
Right.
Okay, you might get a few good months.
So you have to create a hothouse.
Exactly.
Literally.
So when you allow home grows,
yeah.
you have people who have to create these artificial environments.
Yeah.
They reroute their HVAC systems. They bring in heat lamps. They need extra energy sources. We have folks who are hot tapping into the public utilities.
So they're stealing from the city.
Stealing from the city, yeah. And then the water for a mature marijuana plant It requires 6 gallons of water per day.
Wowzers.
To keep
one
that
plant
to keep that thing healthy and growing. And so what you have then is homes that are absolutely destroyed from mold and mildew. We even have homes. Think about the difference between Colorado and Illinois. I'm talking about a dry climate.
Yes.
Colorado, we don't have humidity.
No, you've got mountains that suck that out.
That's right. And we are at an extremely high altitude.
Right.
So we don't deal with the humidity like y'all do. So you come out here to Illinois and you have you create this environment indoors when you also have humidity outdoors. Let me tell you, in Colorado, we're seeing houses that the mold is now starting to grow on the outside of the house.
Oh my gosh.
What is it going to
now,
be like
here? Let me
ask
you. So I'm guessing here that there's, as a result of this mold growth, there's maybe even health problems that people are coming down with.
One of the issues that I see that is so fascinating to me is, Dave, that's an issue. And I have employers that call me on a regular basis and say, Joe, I have an HVAC business. I have an electrician. We do electricity repair or plumbing, right? And so they go into these homes to do these repairs, and their employees come out sick and have to go to the emergency room.
Mm.
And so they're saying, are they exposed to chemicals? Is it the molds? Is it, what's going on? And so now I've got employees in the emergency room for half the day. I've lost that time. I've lost that income. And they're saying, how should we handle this? How do we deal with these customers? And our people are getting exposed to toxic chemicals or molds while they're on the job. And, these are tough issues, and they don't have a solution. So, and then you have people with lung issues, and then people who are immunosuppressed.
Mm.
That can cause harm to them. And we are not thinking this through on a larger level.
And we're already having problems with job applicants, right? Trying to find sober, clean employees, right?
Absolutely.
In Colorado.
Yes, we are. And so you have companies who say for every 12 people who show up to fill out a job application, two will qualify and can pass a pre-employment drug screen.
That doesn't give the employee a pick of the litter, does it?
It certainly does not. And some employers really say, they feel very defeated. They say, if I enforce my drug and alcohol policy and do random drug testing, I don't have any employees left. However, I do want to say there's good news there in that I have a friend who has a construction company in Pueblo. Pueblo, Colorado is one of the main recreational marijuana hubs. And he says, I went into this with clear policy. I communicated it. I had an absolute zero tolerance. My employees know better. And people in this community know you don't come and apply for this job unless you're going to live drug-free. So this can be done,
but it's going to
be tough. People have to have a backbone. They've got to have that policy and enforce it. I got to tell you, if you have not already created that environment that's focused on safety, you're going to have a tough time.
Dave, we have businesses in Illinois that are fleeing our state because of taxation and whatever.
Right.
And then you want to add marijuana to the mix.
No, we don't want to do this. It doesn't sound like any of those things that Joe has talked about, this in the previous podcast, is something that we want in Illinois. And so I would just encourage listeners, if you don't want this stuff to come here, you need to speak out. You can't sit back and shake your head and click your tongues, right? We can't do that. We can't afford to. We've got to pick up the phone. We've got to call and talk to our state lawmakers. Believe me, there are even Republicans down in Springfield who are considering voting for this legislation. We cannot afford to lose Republican votes on this issue. We need to pick up Democrats to make sure this thing doesn't move forward. So I encourage you. The switchboard number to Springfield is 217-782-2000. Just call and ask for your state senator, ask for your state rep, and make sure you tell them unequivocally, no marijuana in Illinois. This is not good public policy.
And if you don't know who your state lawmakers are, you can go to illinoisfamily.org, and there on our homepage, you'll see Officials Finder. You can click on that, and you'll go through the prompts, and you can find out who your state lawmakers
are. That's right. Your address and zip code is all you need.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joe McGuire.
Thank you.
God bless you and your work.
How do we get in touch with you if folks want to learn more?
Sure. joe@joemcguire.org, joemcguire.org.
And you've got lots of good articles and research and
resources.
And great resources. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for coming out to Illinois, the People's Republic of Illinois, and helping us educate folks before they make before we make a very foolish decision.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening, and all the best to you. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.